I'm looking forward to sitting down. Tommy's doing the preaching tonight. Let us sing that little chorus just a little longer on the Trump of God. We'll sing again.
And everyone this evening, we give everyone a very warm welcome in their service tonight. We just trust the Lord will bless you. If we could turn to the Word of God, to Jeremiah chapter 33, and I was going to preach on the seal of the New Testament, but then I thought to myself, maybe for some of the younger ones, I was jumping the gun a bit to start there. I should go back a bit. First of all, and there's so many things to preach on the covenants. And so I thought we'll just have a look at which covenant we're under, first of all. Then we'll eventually come up till the seal of the New Testament, which is ultimately the Lord Jesus. And then sometime I want to preach on man God made. And there's Moses and Elijah and all the different wonderful men God made. But that's all going to take time, praise God. But we're going to look at this covenant tonight. We're looking, first of all, at Jeremiah. And it's verse 31 to 34. And I've brought the notes in this tonight to slow me down a bit. I don't want to be too quick so that you can follow. Jeremiah 31, chapter 31, verse 31 to 34. And then also we could look at Matthew 26. Verse 26 to 30, but Jeremiah 31 and verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now remember, when God gave the covenant and the commandments, they were in a table of stone. But God is saying here, he's going to put them in her heart. No longer in a table or like that, but in our actual hearts, this new covenant. Verse 34, and they shall teach no more man every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Praise the Lord. Let us bow our heads tonight again, and if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand up to the Lord, and we'll pray for you. God bless us so many tonight. We want to remember again John Weir the night as we mission started, that God will save souls, and Jeffrey Beattie as well, again, that God will touch him. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight because we're privileged that you made a way on the cross 2,000 years ago, a way back from the dark path of sin into the holy presence of a holy God. We thank you tonight that you are the living mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank you that the veil is rent from the top to the bottom and the way is made into the very presence of God. Lord, there's nothing in us of our own selves that can make us worthy, but when we received you, we received your righteousness, your imputation of the righteousness of God became ours through Christ Jesus. We thank you for that righteousness tonight. We ask you to wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than the driven snow. Purge us, and we shall be like hyssop. Sanctify us, and fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost, I pray. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit tonight by faith, and I thank you that you undertake for me. Pray for every hand raised in this house, that you'll meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. And look before you, we John Weir tonight, I pray you'll bless them, you'll anoint them and use them, that souls will be saved for the extension of your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name. Father, I ask you also tonight for Jeffrey Beattie tonight. Lord, you know what's happened and everything about it. Most of all, I'm asking you to save him and deliver him. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, for other needs tonight, meet every need for unspoken requests. Bless the children at home. Bless the wives at home. The sisters at home. The brothers at home. Move in your own people, I pray, and get yourself all the praise and all the glory. Help us with your word tonight. May you be the center of our focus this evening. And may your spirit come in this room. I ask that every other spirit become subject to the Holy Ghost tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, I cast down all vain imagination and all reasoning right now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, there's two major covenants. There's the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Testament, the New Testament. One is under law and one is under grace. So when you're under the Old Covenant, you're under the old law, you're under the sacrifice that had to be made continually. So they continually offered. But once you come under the New Covenant, you're no longer under a sacrifice that has to be continually offered, but it's been offered once and for all. Do you know why? Because it pleased God. The other ones continually were on. Now, there to please God, you wouldn't offer them again. But the Bible clearly tells us, if you were made perfect under the first covenant, you would have no need for another one. But you could not be made perfect under that old covenant. It was in part. But the new covenant, the Bible says, it does away with the old. And God has brought in a new covenant, and it is a covenant of grace. And we are under grace. Aren't you glad we're under grace? Isn't it a real shame that people preach grace is over when the Bible says we're under grace? We are under grace. And not only are we under grace, because we're under grace, we're under mercy. And the psalmist David clearly says, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. That's Bible. That's the Bible, not a man's idea. That's the Bible. We know the church today is under the new covenant, therefore it's under grace. And covenant means coming together into agreement or understanding on the part of God. And if you look at Matthew 26 and verse 26 to 30, and that's the scripture we would read when we do communion. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus here written by Matthew. Matthew 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now, it's absolutely a clear doctrine in the Bible that the blood is shed for the remission of sins. Now, I know you know all this, but I'm going to tell you it all again anyhow. And I want to stomp it down hard. And I want to continually keep telling it and preaching it all the time. Because when you get somebody that goes about and preaches a doctrine that you no longer need the blood, that you have moved on from it, that preacher is not preaching the doctrine of the New Testament, which Jesus Christ himself here instituted. Wasn't the Apostle Paul instituted it? The Lord Jesus here instituted this doctrine. And it is the Lord Jesus himself that instituted the doctrine of being born again. He's the one preached it, because he preached it to the man in John chapter 3, Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night, and Jesus said to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God or understand the kingdom of God. So the new birth and remission of sins by blood is not a doctrine that Paul preached. Paul did preach it. Paul continued it. But Jesus instituted it. He's the one who preached it. And even in the Old Testament it was preached, though it was a sacrifice that had to be continually offered. Abel at the beginning, that's the revelation that made him accept it, was coming by blood. So I want to say tonight, a man that tells you that you don't need it, that has to be inspired by the father of Cain. And the father of Cain is an epistle of John, said to be the devil, the wicked one. And whether it's physically or spiritually, to the person today, we were all children of the devil in the sense of children of darkness. Is that correct? That's the Bible. You might think, oh, you never were. Wait a tell you, see, if you think yourself anything, you'll never be saved. That's the problem. When people get doctrines today, I could save myself. That man can't be saved. Did you know that? You have to say you're lost before you can be saved. That's the whole thing about it. The old preachers, you know, used to nail it right down hard like that. That we're absolutely wretched. There's not one good thing in one of us. Didn't Jesus say there's none good? No, not one. He's the man instituted it. I didn't. And I tell you, you only have to leave yourself for a bit, and it's only for the hand of God. Not one of us could do a thing. It's the Lord that keeps us. But the Lord brought this about. The Lord brought this doctrine. Verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day I drink it new in my Father's kingdom. The Lord Jesus brought about this new covenant. And I was going to preach on the seal of the new covenant, but I want to bring this first to lay a bit of a foundation. I don't want to jump ahead of the gun. I know most of it won't understand it, but I want everybody to understand it. Not most of us. Praise God. Christ came under the old law and he fulfilled all of it. That's, he came to redeem those under the law, the covenant. It's the same. When you look at the spirit of Elijah bringing a full restoration, that could not have come under John the Baptist. Because if it had came under John the Baptist, he would have restored us back to the things the Jews had. But there had to be a coming of a spirit of Elijah at another time, which Jesus talked about future, which would bring a full restoration. But I'm not preaching on that tonight. Let's go to Galatians for a moment, and I'll try and go slow and follow the scriptures tonight, and sometimes maybe I'm too quick. Galatians 4, verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. Now I read a thing what certain churches don't believe the Lord was made. But yet withal, you cannot tear this page out of your Bible. It's in it. And it says here, made of a woman. God made himself a tabernacle, that's the Bible. And he came to his temple. He came to his temple. He made a temple and he came to the temple. And that temple was Jesus, the body of Christ. He came to it. God came to it. And he came to it in fullness. That's why Jesus was God manifested in flesh. John 1 verse 1. Amen. Made of a woman, when the Son of God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So the adoption of sons could only come after Jesus Christ came and he fulfilled the law. Now, you know, and I don't know if anybody's ever heard people preach about adoption, but I heard a fellow preach about adoption, and I'm telling you, he must have done 50 sermons all on adoption. 50 messages all on adoption. You talk about the 3-4 ply. 50 messages on adoption. And I'm telling you now, it's none the wiser after the 50th. And the first one, adoption's not complicated. When you're born again of the Holy Ghost, that's it. That's how simple it is. That's it. That's what the Bible says. You're in the family of God. He's given us a spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. You do that once you're born again. Amen. You don't need complication. I tell you, there's too much complication today on things. We will, you know, redeem them by the power of the new covenant. Look what he said at his betrayal, and if you go into the whole thing of betrayal, this new covenant arrangement in blood, you can read Mark 14, Luke 22, if you want to mark those scriptures down. And let's just take a moment and read them. Mark chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark 14, verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and drank, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. So that New Testament came in with what? The shedding of blood. It came in with the shedding of blood. Now the fact that it came in with the shedding of blood renders powerless the old one. I hope you can get this, what I'm telling you. Because if the old one under the blood they had was still in effect, the one that it needed to be another one. But the Lord Jesus came and he brought in this New Testament, New Covenant, when he shed his blood. And he tells them here, every time that you do communion, you're remembering the Lord. You're not re-offering him. He can never be re-offered. You are remembering this New Covenant you're under. And because you're under the new covenant, you're under covenant blessings. Now, if I was praying and studying and reading, and I was going to preach about the seal of the new covenant. And when you come under the seal of the new covenant, Jesus Christ, by the way, is that seal. And the Holy Spirit is what seals you. When you come under that, you come under a blessing what the Old Testament couldn't stay under. But you can. I'll tell you that right now. And I can prove it from the Bible that the Spirit of God moved men in the Old Testament in seasons. But the Lord can give you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And he says he'll abide with you forever, continually. How many on the seas at the night? Praise God. The Holy Spirit, you know, there's one baptism, many fills, we know that. But if you ever receive the Holy Spirit, you still have the Holy Spirit. How many understands that? Amen. Jesus here was instituting this new covenant, and we're going to look at what Paul says here as well. Paul clearly spelt out the Corinthian church that they were Gentile believers and Jewish believers, and they're under a new covenant, though they were Gentile. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 11, and this is also a communion, a scripture which we would read for communion, verse 23 to 27. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he had betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. There's nowhere for he says you're re-offering. You're doing it in remembrance of me. Amen. Verse 24. After the same manner also he took the cup when it supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood, which it means new covenant. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. So this brought in this communion is a remembrance of this new covenant. Now, when you think of this new covenant, there's one word you have to continually think of: grace. You're under grace. You know, people look at some people and say, huck, that boy there, look, he's nothing you could do him. He's a drunkard, he's a skitter, he's, you know, all sorts of things. But God can save any of them. And when we get on a pedestal, we're better than them. We're beside ourselves. For we're no better, only that we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God. And God can save me and you, he can save anybody. Isn't that right? Well, I believe it about myself anyhow. God can save me, can save anybody. Maybe some of you were holy, you know, and you didn't need saving. Because people think that. I worked with a woman, she actually thought that. I tell her how I got saved, and she says, Tommy, you needed to get saved. But I didn't. I never was lost. That's what you told me. She said she never was lost. She never done the things I done. I said, no, you never done the things I done, but I'm going to give you a wee scripture. All your righteousness is as filthy rags before the Lord. And you know, I've told you that a whole lot of times where the chocolate went over the top of my head. She didn't like that. And I'll tell you another thing about her. Every time I meet her now, and I'm going back, this is over, I was about 22 or 3 when I told her that. And I'm 55 coming, so it's 22 years ago. She hides when she sees me. Still, she runs. She doesn't want the truth. She'd rather somebody would pat her on the shoulder and tell her you're all right. You've lived a good life and you're all right. But I'll tell you, when she meets the Lord, living a good life won't do it. The Lord will ask her, did you ever get washed in my blood? What did you do with Jesus called Christ? Well, they never done anybody any harm. Not interested. That's not the question he's asking. Are you saved? Are you born again? That's what you'll be asked. Praise God. Paul said he received from the Lord himself, not from Peter, James, or John, or any of them. He received from the Lord. He had a direct revelation of God. And Paul quoted the same word as the Lord. This cup. This is what he received from the Lord. It's a New Testament in my blood. This cup. You do it in remembrance. And Paul's, you know, Paul was a Pharisee. Many knows that. Pharisee of Pharisees. And an apostle of the Gentiles, having been born again and raised under the old covenant, now declares the revelation of the new covenant. Though he was raised under the old, he's come under the new. And I tell you, it's a new message with it. You see, when you really study out a lot of things, there's a lot of people preaching things from the Old Testament, and they're applying them to people, and they're bringing them into bondage. That's the truth. But they're actually not under the new covenant. They're under the old covenant. And if you were to trail it right through, you can't do it. Because it's an Old Testament thing that they brought to the new. There's certain laws and rules and regulations. Let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. Praise the Lord. And note, these boys are fiddling away here. There's nothing I can do about it, but don't let it try and disturb you too much. Hebrews verse 6 to 13. Just let's read a few of these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 to 13. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. So when you think of all the things we can preach from the Old Testament which are good, but yet with all the Bible says, the New Testament, New Covenant has better promises. We're living below what we should be, in my opinion. Now I'm saying for myself as well, I need the Lord to help me. Hey, how many believes that? When you think of what they're fit to do under the Old Testament, and we are under the New Covenant. Verse 7, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. But it wasn't faultless. There was fault with it. You could go into the Old Covenant, and you could take a child born out of wedlock, couldn't enter the congregation of the Lord for 10 generations. Is that in the Old Testament? Absolutely. What about the New? The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. They can come. That's the New Testament. That's the difference. People even preached they couldn't go in the rapture and stuff. There's no scripture for that. If they have the seal of God, I used to think that myself, but the Lord showed me I was wrong. And I was wrong. And I don't care who preached it. It's not in the New Testament. When you get the Holy Spirit, you're ready. That's what you need for to go, the Holy Ghost. And no matter what way you were born, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses small sin. You are not under the Old Covenant. So the things of the Old Covenant, and you see the way people, now I'm going to say this, I don't know how to say it in the right way, but there's preachers believe where Christians could see them, but they need to put them through a deliverance process. And they need to pray for them, and they need to interview them like a priest. Well, I don't believe that nonsense. I'm sorry. Because I believe the Bible says, what you're in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. If you're really born again, your past's gone. Now, how could the man do something for you better than what the Lord says he'll do for you when you get born again? Now, I know God can deliver people. I'm not talking about that. I know that. But if somebody really gets born again, nobody needs to go down their timeline and sort them out and pray for them. Because if the same person went down their timeline to sort them out, what would they find? Is that the truth? You see, if you're really born again, you're a new creature. The blood of Jesus Christ delivers us. If you really get the true, real thing, there's a power with it. There's a power with it. And the power of that blood's the Holy Ghost. And you're regenerated. You're regenerated. You're born again. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, you could have things you need prayer for. I'm not saying that you don't. But the Lord can deliver you from anything. Anything at all. Praise God. And these wonderful scriptures. Praise God. Look at this down. Let's go verse 8. Let's read verse 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And he's quoting Jeremiah. He's quoting the scripture we read at the beginning from Jeremiah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand. And he's exactly quoting Jeremiah, verse 10. For this is the covenant I will make with them, the house of Israel, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Here's your key. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. When you come under the new covenant, is that right? So when you come under the new covenant, the Lord will be merciful to your unrighteousness, and your sins and iniquities will he remember no more. That's the things that you used to continually do. But God delivers you. You'll not have to do them no more. He'll deliver you from them. Because you can't say when somebody comes through, the blood has done nothing. If we're saying that, we've no message. We've no message. If there's no power with to change a person, there's no point of it. But there is power with. For please God, through the foolishness of preaching the gospel, to save. And the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto us that are saved. Foolishness to the world, but the power of God is the preaching of the gospel. This is why, because this is what the results it is. Verse 12 and verse 13. And that he saith, a new covenant He hath made first old, now that which decayed, wax of old is ready to vanish away. When something's decaying, it's getting old and it's ready to go. And thank God we're under the new covenant. We're not under the old covenant. Amen. Remember, the Hebrew believers were transitioning. They were transitioning from the old covenant into the new covenant. And they were under great pressure to return to the old covenant. You know that even when the apostles start preaching. How many knows Peter took some people and circumcised them? Or Paul did. He circumcised them to please certain people. But he was no longer under the old covenant. And circumcision was under the old covenant. But the Bible says that it'll be no longer the circumcision of the flesh, but the heart. So God's not looking for a physical mark in your body like he did on the... And that was a covenant blessing to the Jews in the flesh. But God's not looking for that today. God is looking for that in the heart, which is the Holy Spirit. It's a seal of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your heart and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you. And that life comes on you. The life of God is the Holy Ghost. That's the life of the blood. The Holy Spirit. And you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But these fellows that were transitioning, you know, there was even a row between the apostles. People say they agreed right along the whole way. Well, they agreed a whole lot, but they fell out as well. Paul and Peter withstood each other. How many knows that's the truth? Now, listen, it's not long ago, and Brother John preached a bit on it as well in Australia about Paul, and you know, and Peter as well. You know, when Peter was up on that housetop, and the sheep fell before him, and God says to him, Peter, go on ahead, take it, eat. And he says, you must be joking. That's what he said. Because they're still transitioning from the old covenant. Now, they held the belief that the Holy Spirit couldn't be given to certain people. And a great Baptist preacher, which I was fond of, he explains out falsely, and it was falsely, how God withheld it from certain people for a certain season. That was his own imagination. That wasn't the scripture. But that's what he preached. And they also preached that the gifts is done away with and all this stuff's not for the day and all the rest of it. And the blast tongues. Tongues has got some touch over the years, hasn't it? But Paul didn't give it a touch. And Jesus himself spoke in tongues. Te lathakum, child arise. Amen? And he spoke in tongues on the cross as well. For they said he's calling the last of one of the prophets. Eli, Eli, sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the Holy Spirit was given, and when that sheet came down before Peter, Peter wasn't going to touch it because, you see, he thought, well, he couldn't do that. That God would only bless certain people. You know, there's groups like that today. I think they need to go back to that there. You know, we're the bride, and if you don't see it our way, you're not in. Is that the truth? Because people believe that. Well, I'll tell you, God said to Peter, don't you call what I've cleansed common or unclean. And if somebody's really come under the blood of Jesus Christ, even if they don't agree with all me or you agree, that does not mean to say they're not saved. Some people think they're not, but that's wrong. You're saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's as simple as it is. The new covenant was clearly shown here to be better, a covenant, a better testament. Why return to the old when the new's better? Why would you go back? But there's people are continually taking people back and they're bringing them into bondage. I could even go further with this and show you the prophets in the Old Testament and prophets in the New Testament. And the fivefold ministry in the New Testament and the Old Testament. Now we know there is a similarity. We know, I'm not saying there's not. But there still is a difference. There has to be. There's a difference. But some people think there's not, but there is a difference. Chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause he is a mediator of the New Testament covenant, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now you know when Jesus went down to Abraham's bosom, them people weren't the people in the New Testament. They were Old Testament believers. How many knows that? But they had kept the law, they had done the sacrifices, and they were accepted.
But they couldn't go right through to heaven until the blood of Jesus was shed and they're coming in the new covenant. And when the blood of Jesus was shed, they were released. They were brought out of there. They were brought out because the blood of Jesus was shed and the way was made, a new living way into the holiest of holies. Not made with hands. Paul, Hebrews says here, which are a figure of truth, but heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. These Old Testament saints looked forward to Calvary. We look back to Calvary. It's all about Calvary. That's the truth of it. Christ himself is immediately this new covenant. That's why it's a better covenant. The old covenant here, we have some important questions. What happened to the old covenant? Does it continue along with the new covenant? What is the relationship of the old covenant to the new covenant? And Hebrews 8, 6 to 13 tells us. Let's go back to Hebrews 8. I'm going to have to close. The time's going already and I haven't said nothing. Hebrews 8, verse 6 to 13. Let's read verse 6 to 13. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. It's a better covenant. Now, if you've been brought into the better covenant, why would you go back to a worse one? But there is people will bring you back to a worse one. And they will preach you a law from a covenant that's no longer under existence, for we're under grace. And they bring out things that people can't do this and they can't do that according to the old covenant, but under the new covenant doesn't say we're all one in Christ. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That we're accepted in the beloved. Even if I'm bald-headed, it can be a priest. Now you're sitting thinking, well, there's nothing to that. In the Old Testament, I couldn't have been. I was out. Bald heads weren't allowed. Crooked nose wasn't allowed. If you had a bad knee, you weren't allowed. That's the old covenant. There's a lot of things under that old covenant. Now, yet withal, Elias was bald-headed. Because the children come out and mocked them, and he called them birds out and ate 50 of them. That's the Bible. But for a priest, it was different. It had to be a specific lineage, specific offices and everything under that old covenant. I'm not saying some things you could type it out and all the rest of it, but I'm telling you now, you're accepted in Christ under this new covenant. I don't care what your background is. Or what way you come into this world, you can be accepted and ready to go because of what the Lord done. Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, better testament. The better covenant is established upon better promises. The first old covenant was not without its faults. Otherwise, no place would have been sought for a second or a new covenant. The days could come when the Lord would make a new covenant with Israel and Judah. It would not be like the old covenant made with them, but a new covenant. I'm closing because the time's going. The time's going, and I hope you've got someone out of it. Maybe it's been a bit distraction tonight, but hopefully you get someone out of it. Well, we'll keep going at it. And if you only get a wee bit, well, then that'll be enough. But how many lads are under a better covenant? You know, you could go back, somebody could say, well, now your grandfather or your grandmother done this or they done that. I have not matter to me what they done. There's a man done something 2,000 years ago on a cross that changed everything for me and you. Jesus. And he shed his blood and he said, your iniquities and your sins are gone because you're under a better covenant. And what are you under? Grace. How many can say you're under grace? When you think of this new covenant, you have to think of the blood, which gives you the remission, and you have to think of grace. Now you've found grace. You know what that means? That actually means you've found favor with God. Because of what Christ done for you. Your favor with God tonight. When you come and pray, I want you to know your favor with God. You're worthy because of what he done. You can come. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you. for this new covenant and the new covenant blessings. We thank you for the precious blood of Jesus Christ that can wash us and cleanse us from all sin, from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, that you said your sins and your iniquities, the continual things that could have happened, will no longer be remembered against us no more. We bless you tonight when we're born again. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away and all things become new. We're new creatures tonight. We're no longer what we used to be. We thank you that we're born again by an incorruptible seed which liveth and abideth forever. We bless you for the spirit of adoption tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And you're our Father tonight. And we're heirs with God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We bless your name this evening, that the importance of your precious blood, that your blood shall never lose its power. That your blood, this new covenant and this precious blood, Lord, brought us into standing with you. A standing with God, where we have a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. One that goes between for us. One that takes our place. One that stands on our behalf. Lord, we would never have been worthy. We would never have been holy enough or righteous enough. But you took our place. You become us. You took our place, Lord. And we thank you tonight that we're redeemed from the curse of the Lord, says in Galatians. That we're redeemed from the curse of the law. The handwriting of ordinances was nailed to the cross, which was all against us, which was contrary to us. You nailed it to your cross. We thank you that all the writings you nailed to your cross, and you wash it all away with your precious blood. Lord, will you wash us afresh in your precious blood tonight? Wash me, Lord. Wash everyone in this room. We plead that precious blood on our sons, on our daughters, on the husband, the wife, the niece, the nephew, the aunt, the uncle. Oh, how we plead the power of that blood, the token, the Holy Ghost, to go upon every one of them and convict them of sin and of unrighteousness and draw them to your lovely self in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray if thou wouldst tarry to this weekend, Lord, and visitors coming in the dedication service, we ask you'll save somebody. We pray that you'll be so uplifted, that you'll be so magnified, that it would please you, Lord, to save a soul in this place. Sanctify every one of us. Help us to guard our tongues this week. Help us to live the way you want us to live. Help others to see Jesus in us. Oh God, we ask for your help. We ask for the fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each and every one of us tonight. Lord, fill us afresh, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Meet the needs of men and women in this room tonight. Pray for all the widows in our fellowship. I'm asking you to bless them and strengthen them. I'm asking you to meet their every need. I'm asking you, Lord, to give them grace in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, that we may rejoice even in tribulation, because we know that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Bless everyone tonight, from the youngest to the oldest in this hall. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.